You got a fellow that's got MS leading the singing. Then you got a mentally retarded evangelist. Amen. Just to show you all that God can use anybody. Amen. And anything. But take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 John chapter number 5. It's good to be saved. Amen. I want to have a shout and stomping time tonight. Amen. Amen. I want to see people saved and about an hour and a half invitation. Amen.
Amen.
Have the tears soaked all over the altar and we'll just run, have a running, shouting fit.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. And if you ain't right with God sitting in here, we want to make you as uncomfortable as we can. Amen. Lock the doors. Bold them. Amen. But it is good. But we had two good services and see some new folks tonight I hadn't seen before. And, amen. Don't be nervous. We bark, but we don't bite. Amen. 1 John chapter number 5. I'm going to begin reading verse number 10. Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Man, that's a great truth right there. Amen. If you're sitting here tonight and you've been saved, you've got the witness inside you. Amen. And every once in a while, that kind of mingles and jingles and tingles around in there. You say, "Well, I don't base what I believe on feelings." Oh, it shows. Amen. I don't know about y'all, man. I can feel it. I feel saved tonight. Amen. I feel like I'm a child of God tonight. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son." Now, verse number 12. Now, if you have a problem with the King James Bible, amen, verse number 12 doesn't even have a two-syllable word in it. I mean, anybody in here with walking around sense can get this one. Amen. "He that hath the Son hath life." Anybody in here have the Son?
Amen.
Amen. "And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's that simple. Amen. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for the singing. Thank you, God, for Jesse being here, and I pray you'll bless him, bless his ministry. God, he stepped out in full-time evangelism here not too long ago, and God, I pray you'll guide him and lead him and give him the meetings he needs and put him exactly where you'd have him to be and give him exactly what he needs. Lord, we pray for this church. Pray for Brother Piet, his family, God. I pray you'll bless him. Grant him the desire of his heart, what he's prayed for here this week. God, all the folks here that make up Solid Rock, I pray you'll bless them. Bless every home that's represented, the ministries that are here. And God, we ask you, the folks in here that's never been saved, God, deal with their heart. Make it easy for them to get saved here tonight. And God, us that are saved, revive us again, that we may rejoice in thee. And send a revival here this week. Bless the church. And Lord, lift up your name. And God, have your way. Give that liberty that only comes through the Spirit of God. And we'll praise you and give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to preach a message tonight that I heard from somebody else. Is that all right?
Sure.
Amen. Preachers do that all the time anyhow. Amen. I hate to divulge y'all's secrets, but they do that all the time. These preachers that come into a meeting here, that's why they've got a piece of paper and a pencil. Amen. They want to try to steal somebody else's messages. But I don't know how many years ago has it been, Jess? 5 years ago, we went up to Delaware to Brother Ryman's church. And we got there, we started the meeting on Sunday, and their August meeting goes from Sunday to Sunday. And we got in on Saturday, and Brother Ryman told us, said Brother Mark, said, "I want you and Brother Danny Hall was with me, said, I want you all to go over to Pop Coleman's." And old Pop Coleman was a man of church there that Man, just a pillar in the church. An old fellow there, just a blessing. And you'd have to know that couple. They took in kids for years. They're the kind of people that raise their grandkids, somebody else's grandkids, take kids in off the street. Just a blessing. And Brother Ryman said that Pop Coleman's dying. He said he had leukemia and his lungs had filled up with fluid and he'd been in the hospital and they sent him home and they knew he was going to die. And said a bunch of us going over and praying for him tonight. Said, would you all go over with us? So we went over to the house where the Colemans live and we pulled up there and there's cars all in the yard and in the driveway. And we walked in the house he was sitting in his recliner. And when we walked in, he seen me and Brother Danny and he says, hey boys. I said, how you doing? I said, you here? I'm going home. Amen. Well, that's the way to go out. Amen. Hey, one of these days, I'm going to die and leave on out of here. Say, ain't you afraid of dying? I'll tell you what, I'm going to heaven. Amen. And he said, going home, boys. And man, he had us crying. We come over and said, we want to pray for you, Pop. And he said, oh, that'd be a blessing, he said. And we all got in there, his grandsons and sons and folks in the church. And we all knelt around there on the floor and laid down on the floor. And we started praying for him, And old Pop, he's praying with us. And he reached down and I felt some hand go on my head. And he reached down and put his hand on my head while I was praying for him. Well, I'm telling you what, it's like God opened up the window in heaven and looked down in that little living room in there. And God met with us. He's getting ready to make the crossing. Amen. So we had that prayer and went back and we started the meeting on that Sunday morning. And to be honest with you, boy, I missed him all week. I mean, I knew he had the presence of God on him because he's getting ready to make the crossing and missed him all week. And we had that meeting all week. And Sunday morning, the last day of the meeting, I was sitting on the front row like I normally do and I had a tape measure on my belt. And I preach a message on death and I pull a tape measure out and every inch, like it's a year of your life, you pull that thing out to 70 inches or 80 inches. It don't seem long when you do that. And then you start subtracting. Like you subtract your age. Like you, right? Then you get the little small piece of... Amen. I mean, zip. Zip. Amen. You say, that's kind of cruel. He's just that much closer than we are. Amen. I mean, he's already 106 years old. But you subtract your age off of there. And then other things, like if you smoke. How many of y'all smoke in here? How you eat. I don't stay very long on that one. Amen. Say why? Because that's my message. Amen. Or just how you drive. Zip. Or just being dumb. Amen. I mean, it's a wonder some of you guys are alive right now. I'll jump off the garage. You dare me? But I had that tape measure and I had it on my belt and I was all ready to preach that message on death. And we heard a noise in the back and looked back there and the doors opened up and here come Pop. And man, I went, hey man, there he is. And I went, oh no. Because I had that message on death. And here he is dying. I mean, everybody knows. And I'm like, Lord, are you sure? I mean, he's got 35 families sitting here, you know. Lord said, no, you preach that anyhow. He come in and he sat right where you all sat right there and on the outside. And I preached that message that morning, pulled that tape measure out. And boy, I looked at his family, his wife, tears in her eyes, knowing he's going to, amen, make the crossing. Got done, had the invitation and some folks came, and I don't know all what happened. I think we even had some folks saved that morning. Almost got into a fight before the preaching. It's exciting to be an evangelist. You ought to get in. We was talking about that today. I forgot about that. I stand on the front row, and a guy come up 5 minutes before I'm getting ready to preach, and he starts refuting stuff I preached the night before. I don't appreciate you talking about the Pentecostals and tongues, you know. I said, get out of here. I said, I'm getting ready to preach. Go on, get. And he goes, man, you don't know what I could do to you. I'm like, come on. He says, man, I could take a screwdriver and take you. I just grabbed him by the collar and just drug him back.
Good job, bro.
drug him back to the guy at the back door. I said, get this idiot out of here. Come back up to the front. Amen. And got ready to preach. Amen. But old Pop, during the invitation, this is the message. He got up out of his seat and he jumped up. And he's got his lungs filled with fluid and all that, dying. And he jumps up out of his seat and runs up to the front and he starts going, better be real. Better make sure it's real. Better be real. Boy, his wife's sitting there, she's going, because man, you know, he could die at any moment. And he's looking at his church and all the people he loves and said, better make sure it's real. Better be real. Boy, and he goes back here and sits down. I'm going to tell you folks something. That's one of the greatest messages I've ever heard in my life. From a dying man. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach his message tonight. And no holds barred. I'm telling you, I'm not here to make friends. Amen. I'm not here. I appreciate you preachers coming. But I've got a different agenda tonight than being able to come to your church and preach. I'm telling you tonight, it better be real. Amen. I'm sick and tired of seeing casualties and people die right out of our church services. I'm telling you, it better be real. You better make sure you've got the goods. Amen. Who would be your Pop Coleman? Amen. Who would jump up here tonight if they knew they only had a few days of life left? Amen. What would your granddaddy say? What would your grandma say? What would the preacher say if he only had a couple days left? Amen. We don't know how much time you got. I'm telling everybody in here, it better be real here tonight. The warning flag ought to be going off. You say, well, I didn't come here tonight to be talked like this. Too bad. I'm telling you, I've got a divine obligation. You could be sitting here tonight and not be saved. You could be sitting here tonight and be so far away from the fellowship of God that you don't even know what it means to be right with Him. And I'm telling you, it better be real. Amen, amen. Let me say number one. You better be able to take me to the place where you got saved. You might not remember the date, but you will remember where you were. Say, I don't know about that. Well, once you get saved, and you'll know about that. How in the world could you not remember where you were when you were an old sinner and called on Christ and He saved you? Amen. I preached this one night. We was in Oklahoma. And a lady come up to me after the church service. And I'm sorry. This is what I get in trouble for preaching. I could tell she was a flake. Just by looking. Amen. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? She walks up like this. She said, Brother McGahee, I've got something you said tonight bothered me. Under my breath, I'm going, good, amen. This is a start, amen. She walks up and she goes, you talked about having a place. She goes, I just feel like I've always been saved. I went, oh, no, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, no, no. Amen. Nobody has always been saved. I said, you got to be a sinner and know you're a sinner and call on a holy God and accept His Son. Nobody has always been saved. Amen. Amen. Somebody help me here. Amen. You'll remember where you were. Amen. Does it make me all nervous when I come down here? How about if I stand up on the seats and preach? Does it make y'all nervous? I'm telling you, it better be real. Don't mess around with this. You'll wind up in hell. Don't do it. Amen. Those are cowboy boots. That is ostrich leg. She's looking at my shoes going, what in the world is he wearing? Cowboy boots. Amen. Personal touch. Amen. Better be real. We got in a church service in Green Cove Springs, Florida. Pastor there is a 3-tour man in Vietnam. Sergeant Recon. Hurrah.
Guy's 6'6" and his nickname is Pee-wee. I don't understand that. But old Brother Hayes, you know him, Jesse? Old Brother Spurgeon Hayes. And we started a meeting one Sunday and started a revival meeting. He had about 35 people. He looks out over the congregation at the pulpit. He says, "I'll tell you what we're going to do." He said, "We're going to find out where you were when you got saved." He said, "Well, I don't want no testimony. I don't want to hear about Grandma's log cabin or her biscuits. Amen. I don't want to hear what kind of weather it was that day. I just want to know where you were when you asked Jesus Christ to save you and He saved your soul." And he just started pointing. "Where were you? Where were you? Where were you?" Amen. What if I did that in here tonight? What if I started doing that? Would you have a place? Or would you have to fabricate one? Or would your heart start pounding when I got close to where you were? I'm telling you, it better be real. He's sitting there, man, I couldn't wait till he got to me. I'm sitting there. Amen. I wanted to tell him. He went all the way through there, and people saying, "I was at such and such Baptist church." Somebody would point down to the altar there at that church, and "I was right there, preacher." He got over here, and there's an old man sitting right here, and the old guy had the palsy. And his head was like that, and he pointed that old man, and that old man, I turned around and looked, and he had a tear went down his face. And that old guy looked up, and he says, "Omaha Beach." Man, I'm telling you, you could have heard a pin drop in there. Brother Hayes started weeping and crying. He said, "What is Omaha Beach?" "That's the beach at Normandy. When our boys went over and stormed the beach at Normandy, over 4,000 of our boys got killed in one morning. And a lot of them boys crawled off them Higgins boats. And half of them were shot to death before they even got off the boats. And some of them drowned in the water and crawled their way through the bloody surf and up the sand. Amen, to take the beachhead that day. And many, many boy that day called on God because they knew what it meant to be saved. I'll guarantee you everybody in here knows how to be saved. Amen, but some of you, it just ain't real. Can you take me to the place?" I was in a little church in West Virginia and I did that. I started pointing, everybody's in there. I'm threatened to do it here. I did it in Canada and I pointed at a boy and he goes, I said, "Where were you, son?" He just, I said, "You better get that straightened out." Amen. You say, "Well, I didn't come here tonight to be buttonholed." And, well, what'd you come here tonight for? Come here to get your ears tickled? Amen. Come here to get a nice little Bible lesson? How about, is it real in your life? Amen. I was pointing around in there, and there's a couple sitting right here on the front row. And there's a gal sitting back about where you are. And I pointed and I said, "Where were you, young lady, when you got saved?" And she put her head down like that. And she goes, "I was in my bedroom. And after my mama had talked to me, I knelt by my bedside. And this couple was sitting here. And this gal put her head down like that. And she's going, 'Oh, God. Oh, God.'" And it was her daughter. And she'd never heard where her own daughter was saved. I thought, how sad. Amen. How real can that be? Amen. I mean, people that know me and has heard me preach at least once or twice, they've heard my testimony. I can't help it. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ saved me. Amen. Amen. Can you take me to the place? Can I tell you about it? I'm going to anyhow, but I figured I'd let you all in on it. The drug culture got me at an early age. And I'm not glorifying sin and all that. I'm just telling you where God found me. And the drug culture got me. By the time I was 14 years old, I was already selling dope in school. And I can't even fathom what it's like now. That was 1972, 73. I don't even know what it'd be like now. But the drug culture got me and grew up too fast. Left home when I was 17. Turned 18 in my own apartment. And the best thing ever happened to me is I got thrown in jail. Maybe that's where some of you need to go. Maybe you might be a little more appreciative of what God does for you if you spent some time in the hoosegow Amen. I remember laying there in jail. I remember the first night in jail, I heard some other guys in there crying. And I remember laying on that metal bunk saying, is this what it means to be a tough guy? I said, it ain't what it's cracked up to be. Man, I wanted to be in the motorcycle gangs and fist fight and carry a gun and carry brass knuckles and be a tough guy. I said, is this what it means to be a tough guy? I don't want it! Boy, God started dealing with me in the jailhouse. And I was married and had a little baby in diapers. And my dad come to bail me out. I thought my dad was 800 miles away. My dad come in, the sheriff come down there where I was. He goes, hey, McGahee, your dad's here to bail you out. Man, my heart sunk. I went, huh? I said, is he mad? Hey, man. I said, if he's mad, I'll stay in here. I'm safer in here. I said, no, he's here to get you. Man, I got up almost like in a daze. And I got up and there was a round thing that you stand in. You step in this round thing and they pull a big iron bar out and they spin this thing around. And when they spin you around, you walk up the incline up to the sheriff's office. That incline going upstairs was the first time in my life I ever felt Holy Ghost conviction. I believe you'll even remember where God convicted you, where you were. And I remember walking up them steps. First thing I seen when I got into jail was a chick comic book. When I looked at it, I laughed and I went, huh. Because God started dealing with my heart. And I remember walking up that incline and I said, boy, my dad's up there. And I've let him down. Everything he wanted me to be, now I'm in the jailhouse. Nobody wants to go get their boy and bail him out of jail. I walked the boy, I was thinking, man, he's going to be mad. I said, they'll arrest him before this is over with. Amen, the sheriff, they might have to shoot him because he's going to try to kill me in here. Get your guns out. I walked up in the sheriff's office and I looked across the desk and there stood my dad. My dad looked across over and he had tears in his eyes. He looked over and he said, you okay, boy? I said, yeah, I'm okay, Dad. He said, I'm here to get you out of here, son. Boy, God, start dealing with me. Got out of jail that day. It was snowing. There's about 8 inches of snow on the ground. My wife, my little wife, was with my dad. We started down the highway. We lived in a place called Hoburg Holler. And we got close to the Holler Road and seen my sister-in-law running down the highway. I said, what in the world? We pulled over and she ran up to the car and she started screaming, he's gone, he's gone, daddy's gone. And my father-in-law died about the same moment they let me out of jail. My wife jumped out with her sister and my dad drove me down to the Holler Road and dropped me off. Said, the road's too bad, son. I can't drive down there. I said, you're going to have to go. Said, them's your people. And I got out of the car. I didn't have no shoestrings in my shoes, no belt. And I walked half a mile down the road in the snow. And I walked down there and my father-in-law tried to push a car in the snow and had a heart attack. And he was still laying in the ditch there when I walked up to him. Hair all matted, messed up, been in the jailhouse, long hair. And I remember a couple of the farmers from the Holler, they were standing around. I remember walking up there and they looked at me and, man, I was a sight. And I remember walking over to my father-in-law, looking down and telling them men, I said, he ain't there. I said, he was a saved man. He's in heaven. Boy, God started ringing my bell. Lost everything I had. My old dope buddies stole all my stuff while I was in jail. Didn't have nothing, no car, lost my job. Didn't have anything. The world zapped me of all of it. And God started dealing with my heart. My mom and dad were living in Pensacola, Florida. And they were living down there. And my mom and dad wrote me a letter and said, you can come down here, son, and get your life straightened out. Said, you can stay with us and get you a job. You can come. And me and my wife, my mom, my mother-in-law bought us 2 bus tickets, went to Pensacola, Florida. When I got to Pensacola, Florida, I had 16 cents in my pocket. Didn't even have enough to make a phone call. Had to bum a quarter to make a phone call. So some of these folks in here shouting tonight, folks, is real. Yes. Amen. Amen, it's real, some of us. Amen. Amen. I called my mom. She come down to the bus station in Pensacola, picked us up at the Greyhound station. Got in the car. My mom said, son, said, you can come and live with us and get your life straightened out. Said, but me and your daddy's in church now. And said, you'll have to go to church with us on Sunday morning. I told my mom, I said, that's fair deal, Ma. And we started going, I didn't know it, but they set me up. Amen. The old preacher preached the hell out of me. Called me names. Amen. I'd be sitting there and the preacher would say, hey, dopey dope, I'm talking to you. Hey, punk. Amen. Said, some of you just going to dope yourself right on to hell, dopey dope. Look right down at me. Hey, stupid. Hey, dummy. Hey, punk. I'd say, boy, this is fun here. I'd look down at my mom and dad and aunt and uncle, and they'd all be like this. One Sunday morning, he said, hey, you long-haired punk, I'm talking to you. I looked around. I went, well, I'm the only one in here with long hair. I said, all the rest of them look like cops. Amen. And I went a few Sundays. I started going there, and I guess it was around the middle of April. And I went a few Sundays, and I believe it was around the first or second Sunday in June. The old preacher was preaching on Sunday morning, and he stepped out from the pulpit. And he stepped right here, and he put both hands out. He described what Jesus Christ looked like when he died on the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd never seen it on that fashion. The old preacher, I watched his hands shake. And he spit when he preached and had tears in his eyes. They talked about how the soldiers took their fists and beat him. Said how they blindfolded him and platted a crown of thorns on his head. And boy, he'd spit and holler and look down at me and point his finger like that. And told how they beat him with a cat of nine tails. And how the Bible says that all of his bones stared at him. And boy, I'd never seen it that way. Started going right down in here in my heart. And the old preacher preached that and he looked down at me and he put his finger like that and he goes, how can you refuse that? And I was sitting on the seventh row on this side, about five people in, and he pointed down there like that, and how can you refuse that? And I'm telling you, that Sunday morning, I couldn't refuse no more. I said, what'd you do? I bowed my head and said, oh God, I know I'm a sinner, Lord. God, will you save me? I believe on you. I trust in you. I believe on your son. Will you save me? I said, what'd he do? He saved my soul. Amen. I'm telling you, that's where I was. It's real tonight. It's just as real as it's ever been. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm washed in the blood. I'm going to heaven when I die. It is real. Is it real with you? I'm telling you, it better be real. Amen. We was in a meeting. Canada. Last year, in Canadians, you know there's saved people in Canada? Hey, man, I found some up there. And there's a little lady come up to me on Sunday morning. We started on Sunday morning, and she's about this tall, and her husband, he was a Canadian Royal Mounted Police officer. And they walked up to me, and it's Brother Colson's church up there in Canada, if any of y'all know Brother Colson. And she walked up, and she said, Brother Mark, she said, my granddaughter's coming to church tonight. She said, would you preach to her? I said, well, yes, ma'am. She goes, you don't understand. Said, she's never been here. Said, she's never spent the night with me and her grandpa. Said, she's 15 years old, Brother Martin. She lives on the street. Said, she's a Satanist. She's on crystal meth. She's on crack cocaine. And she's called us out of the blue and said her life is a mess. And she's coming tonight. And this little old lady's standing there crying, looking up at me and says, will you please preach to her? And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Amen. Yeah. And I'm telling you tonight, it's just as urgent for some of you. And that little old gal came and she sat on the second row right there. Her hair was purple dyed. She had a thing through her eyebrow. She had another ring thing through her cheek right here, and boy, she was a mess. Looked like death warmed over 15. 15 years old, she looked like she was a 23-year-old person who lived on the street for years. And she come in, and I'm telling you, by the time it's over with, I was standing on the pew in front of her, preaching to her like that, going, you're a loser! You're on the losing side! Why don't you get on the winning side? Well, her eyes got big like that. Amen. She'd never seen it on that fashion. He said, well, I don't know about preaching like that. It shows. Amen. That's why you're so meek and mild. Amen. That's why you're so wimpy. Amen. Tired of being around wimpy Christians. I'm telling you, the alarm ought to be going off sitting in here. That little old gal preached and started the invitation, and that church, they don't get no hurry during the invitation. And I'm sitting on the front row, and she's sitting over there, and here she come. She come out of her seat and sat down next to me. And she looked at me, and she goes, "Preacher, my life is a mess." I said, "Yeah, girl, I can tell." She goes, "What do I need to do?" I said, "You need to get saved." And she looked at me, and she goes, "Can I keep my piercings?" She goes, "That's what I do. I pierce my friends. We pierce each other. We brand each other." And I said it before I even thought. I said, "Young lady, do I need to show you in the Bible where the Lord was pierced for us?" Boy, she put her head down and started crying. And she goes, "I want him out. I want to take him out." And she couldn't get the thing out of her eyebrow. And I motioned for the pastor's wife, and her little grandma came over there, and they started working on that thing, and they got it out of her eyebrow, and it was bleeding. They wiped the blood off. She goes, "I want this one out too. I want it out." And they took that out, and it was bleeding. They wiped the blood off her little cheek, and she looked over at me, and she goes, "Can I get saved now?" She could have got saved before. Amen.
Yeah.
I said, "Young lady, I said, I can't get saved for you, girl. I can't just tell you what to pray. I said, the best way you know how, you need to call on God and accept Christ as your Savior and believe on Him and trust in Him. I said, will you take my hand and do that?" And she put her little hand in mine. And she goes, oh, God, I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner." And man, so I'm telling you, amen, my heart, boy, about broke because she got gloriously saved. Amen. Went back that night and stayed with her grandma and grandpa. Stayed with her all week. I looked back Thursday night, and they were sitting where you are. She's sitting next to her granddaddy, and they was holding hands like that. They had their fingers locked. Well, I'm telling you, my heart almost exploded. Amen. And I just got to go there in April, and when I walked into church, amen, there she stood, little Sarah. And she put on weight, and her skin color looked good. And she looked at me, and she goes, "Hey, preacher." Went over and hugged her. She goes, "I love you, preacher."
Amen.
Amen. I'm asking you tonight, is it real? Can you take me to the place? Some of you trusted in, I don't know what. It's been hit all week. I guess the Lord's trying to get your attention, isn't He?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a friend of ours, Brother Charlie Tenney. Brother Tenney pastored down in Hacker Valley, West Virginia. It's a real place. Can't get there from here, but it's a real place. And he came down to Alabama, him and his wife. We had a meeting down at our church in Alabama. Him and his wife came all the way down there, and she was raised an American Baptist. Y'all know what American Baptist is up here? Dead or doornail. Amen. And she was raised in that, and during our meeting on Sunday morning, she got up out of her seat and went and got Dee Dee Hall, and they went to the altar right here. Me and Brother Charlie sitting on the front row right here. And they was down there praying for 15, 20 minutes, and she got up, and she turned around and looked at her husband, and she goes, "I just got saved." And here she was, a pastor's wife. Amen. You say, what'd y'all do? Did y'all stop and go, "Oh, well, now, wait a minute now. Wait." No, man, we just threw a fit. Amen. We'd do the same for you if you got saved. You know why you didn't come? You know why you didn't come last night? You're afraid what everybody else thinks. Who cares what everybody else thinks? You need to get saved. You need to do it now. Amen. She went back to her church. Two of her sisters got saved. Two or three of her nieces, two or three church members got saved. Because see what she did in an American Baptist church one service. She just got up, went up, sat on the front row, and somebody came over and had a card for her to fill out. And that was her. They baptized her, put her into the church. And that was it. No prayer, no repentance, no nothing. Lost. Better be real. Better be real. Amen. I'll tell you what else. Folks better be able to tell what happened to you.
Yep.
Amen. Does anybody else know you're saved? Some of you meek and mild ones sitting here, and use your personality and all that for a crutch. Does anybody else know you're saved? We got to service, and I thought about it even before the singing started. I've been doing this the last few churches I've been in. I'll open to that song Jesse sang. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. And I sing that first verse, and I said, all right, your turn. Tell me what you think of Jesus. Come on. And I start, people start doing it. Amen. Was you going to do it? Amen. Looked like she's going to do it. She stood up back there. There's a little girl about her age. Put her hand up. I said, yeah, honey. And she says, I think He's God Almighty. And she went, and He's mine. Man, I'm telling you, we all about had a coronary heart attack. Amen. What if I'd done that in here tonight? Would anybody here jump up? I know who. I could take a laser pointer and point some of the nuts that would. What about the rest of y'all? Would you have to be badgered into it? Or could you tell me what you think of Jesus, since you found in Him a friend so strong and true? How He changed your life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. Amen. Is anybody in here like that? I'm telling you, hey, people ought to know it, Tim. Y'all know Brother Spurgeon? I could give his testimony. Amen. I've heard it so many times. Well, I was in a jail, amen. Palsy on the right side of my face. You know how he goes. So now a preacher come in, look like Clark Kent, man. Preacher come in, preached on hell, told me I was going to hell. You know, man, I've heard his testimony. Brother Danny Hall, yep. I could give you his. Brother Danny said they put him in jail, had hair down to here, looked like Charlie Manson. Said scared everybody in there. Said he had a velvet shirt on with a rope belt. Said the sheriff and stuff shaved his head because he's freaking everybody out in the jail. Said after they shaved his head, they was more scared of him then than they were. Said he's laying there in the jail and the preacher come by. Says the old preacher had a crew cut, had big pop bottle glasses. And he got up behind the bars and he preached like this. Oh, well, I'm telling you. I'm telling you here this morning. I'm telling you need to be saved. You need to be born again. I'm telling you, you're going to split hell wide open. I'm telling you must be born again. Except you repent, he shall all likewise perish. I'm telling you, said he preached and had white foam build up on the corners of his mouth. Said he had glasses looked like pop bottles. His eyes looked that big around. Said he preaching and sweating, spitting. Brother Danny said, I couldn't even stand to look at him. Amen. But he said that old preacher got done preaching and he's there in his jail cell and God started to deal with him. He kept remembering that preacher said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he said, God, if you'll save me, if you send one drop of blood from the mercy seat of heaven, and wash me of my sins. I trust in you. Believe on you. Brother Danny said one drop of blood came down through the Milky Way. Amen. And down through the stratosphere and through the stars. And amen. Through the ozone, through the hole in the ozone layer. Amen. Came down through the reinforced steel and cement and washed me of all my sins. Amen. Don't you remember when you were cleansed? Don't you remember, hey, when the burden of sin was lifted off of you? Amen. Can folks tell what happened to you? Girls, are you ever going to say amen in church? Amen. It better be real. Amen. Let me ask you this. Will it take you out of here? What you got, can you die with what you got? What if sitting in here right now, it happens all ages. What if sitting here right now, it started to be hard for you to breathe?
I don't know if anybody in here has had a heart attack or a scare or anything like that. I remember one night, Christmas Eve, I was laying in the bed about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got to where I couldn't breathe. And we had been to somebody's house, and we ate Christmas cookies, little beanie weenies and barbecue sauce and ham and all kind of stuff, shrimp cocktail and cheesecake, and we ate all that stuff, and I went to bed on it, and I woke up 3 in the morning. I'm like, that'd scare me to death. I was trying to take my pulse. I'm in the bathroom. I'd already took a bear aspirin. I said, I heard if he's having a heart attack, take an aspirin. If I'd have heard to eat a cup full of dirt, I would have done that. Amen. I got my watch and I'm going, I ain't got a pulse, man. I'm dying. I go and sit in the living room. Christmas tree sitting there, all the presents. And I'm sitting there going, man, I might as well open up my presents. I ain't going to make it till morning. My life flashing before my eyes. I say, what happened? Indigestion. Tell you what, it made me take a full account of my life, though. But what if sitting in here right now? What if all of a sudden it got hard for you to breathe? You ever had a panic attack? You're sitting there going, oh, man. Oh, what's wrong with me? When a cold sweat breaks out on you, you're going, oh, man, my arm. You start looking over to say help to somebody and you can't talk. You're sitting there. It could happen right here. What if that happened to you? Can you die with what you got? You got assurance of your salvation? Is it real? It better be. There ain't a mom and dad in here that would question, say, I thought my daughter was saved. I don't. If you do question that, maybe you need to get saved.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm with Brother Jesse. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. We had 5 in here tonight need to be saved. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. What if the Lord come right now? Would you go? We was in a church. Y'all in a hurry? Have I been long yet? Not yet. Amen. There's a lot of liberty here. We got in a church. We was in a church in West Virginia, and we had a youth revival all week. And we done a skit one night. The church did. And the skit was, it was called As the World Burns. I liked it. Just the name of it intrigued me. Amen. On Friday night of that meeting, little country church, people were lined up around the church. They had the windows open, and people was outside looking in the windows. That's how crowded it was. Amen. It's like the old timers talked about. And the last part of that skit, they had the kids. There was a group of kids that the rapture had taken place, and they were looking for their family and friends that were saved and gone. And every night they go to somewhere different and this and that. And the last night they came to the church house. And they had some pews set up on a platform. They had everything pulled back. And they pulled that back and started that skit. And there's 5 or 6 people sitting on the church pews. It's Sunday morning. 10:30 Sunday morning. These kids come in through the door. They turn the lights down. These kids come in and they're like they're walking into the church. And they walk into the church house and they're going, what's going on? Where is everybody? Man, it's 10:30. Brother Delmas, he ain't never late. Where's the preacher at? Them 5 or 6 people sitting there said, man, we don't know. So-and-so's gone. Said, well, I can't find my baby. I mean, it's terror. Amen. It could happen tonight, folks. One of them kids says, what was that the preacher used to preach about? He used to mention something every once in a while. And one of them went, oh, don't tell me. The resurrection. Said, no, that wasn't it. The redemption. Said, no, that wasn't it. And one of them said, rapture. And they went, oh, no. Man, they started crying, saying, oh, God, we missed it. Oh, God. Man, I couldn't imagine. Hey, you'll lose your mind if you miss it. They changed scenes and they pulled the thing back and they changed scenes and they showed all the saved people in heaven. All of them that had been raptured out. Little country church. They had sheets on. Had gold and white balloons hanging up. Amen. And they were all up there and they was on the platform. They were going, woo, don't this feel good? one of them and say, hey, my bursitis is gone. Amen. And boy, I mean, they was like that. And they'd see somebody down in the congregation and they'd go get them. And the people in the congregation didn't even know they were part of the skit. And one of them goes, hey, there's Granddaddy. And he walked down there and old Granddaddy was wearing a pair of bibbed overalls. Old guy there in the church. And they went down there and they got Granddaddy. And he got up and he walked up there like this. And he got up on the platform. That old man got up there and he started going, woo! Woo! And he had tears in his eyes. He goes, it does feel good. Amen. I was sitting over there on that side and I was sitting there thinking, I want to go. And there's a big old tall boy and he looked over and he goes, hey, there's old brother McGahee. He was preaching the night I got saved and he walked down there and got me. Man, I'm telling you, I about come out of my skin. I went up, I was going up like this. Yeah! And I got up there and went, woo! It does feel good up here. Well, hey, if just a little old skit, if just a little old glimpse over there in the glory, hey, if that can feel that good, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we finally get to heaven, when we all get to heaven. Amen. These days are going to be a reality. And they changed scenes again, and they showed the judgment. And they had up on the platform, they had big shop lights. They had like a guy standing there like it was God on the throne. They turned these lights on. You couldn't see his face, just the outline. And that song started playing. All is still, heaven is silent, as the mighty judge ascends the throne. And it says, the book of life is open. And they had a fishing wire or something hooked up to that big old family Bible. And it opened up. Me and Rick Drummond was sitting over there and he went, did you see that? How'd they do that? I'm like, I don't know, but it was good. Man, that Bible opened up. It said, the book of life is open as the countless souls begin to moan. Man, I can't imagine. Some of you sitting in here, rapture take place, you miss it. You have to go through the tribulation here on this earth. Amen. And all that happens, the millennia, you miss it all. And then you have to be, amen, up before the throne of God. You have to stand there knowing your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. I tell you what, I don't know what, man alive, why don't you get saved?
Yeah.
And they went through that whole judgment and everything and they showed, I'll never forget this either. They showed all the Christians were on the right side of God over here. All the lost people, the folks that missed the rapture and all that, they was over here. And they were doing that. There's a gulf fixed between them. And over here, there's a little old girl with her mama. They all had white sheets on. And that little old girl started pulling on her mama's sheet. Her daddy was over there. He was playing one of them that was lost. She started pulling, going, Mommy, Mommy, I want Daddy. I want Daddy, Mommy. And she's going, shh, I didn't be quiet. Mommy, Mommy, I want Daddy. It was scaring her, what they were saying. Daddy'd be over here and he'd be going, shh, I'd be quiet. She started going, I want you, Daddy. Daddy, I want you. And boy, that thing, that reality hit that daddy. He started going, I can't come over to where you are, baby. Can't come over there. Man, I'm telling you, my heart, it ripped my heart in two. It showed me a picture, folks, I'll never get out of my mind. I can't imagine folks sitting right in here. I don't know you. I love you all, but I don't love you like you folks do. I don't love you. I don't love you like your grandpa does. I can't imagine grandma, grandpa. Oh, no, honey, no. Can't imagine Brother Pietz. And oh, no. No, honey, why in the world? No. Over there, can't come to where you are. Daddy looking at his boy. Oh, no. No, tell me it ain't so. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Can you see the urgency of the message tonight? Better be real. Some of you need to quit playing games. Amen. Will it take you out of here? Are you saved and know it? Are you living your life where you can get other people in? I'll tell you what I like to do. Friday night, it's 25 minutes till 9. We're going to give an invitation here in a minute. And I don't want to be in no hurry. Amen. I'll tell you what I'd like to see, what I prayed about sitting here a little while ago. I'd like to see some of you kids pray with your mom and daddy. Make sure, daddy, you make sure. You look at them in their eyeballs. Make sure. Amen. You kids, you can look at your daddy and say, daddy, it's real. I know I'm saved. Amen. Some of you need to pray together. Need to get that thing fixed. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Jesse's going to come. He's going to play. Let me ask you right now, without waiting any longer, if you need to be saved, why don't you get up and come right now, would you? Who would be first? Who would be first? Would you come? Would you come? Right now. Come on. Come on. Would you? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I do stuff like this. If this aggravates you, I'm sorry. But if you're sitting here and you're lost, why don't you come? Why don't you come? I wouldn't wait no longer. I wouldn't wait. Why don't you come? I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. Need to get it fixed. How many of y'all sitting here say, preacher, I can take you to the place. Man, I know I'm saved. Let me see your hand. I can take you to the place. Take you to the place. Let me see your hand. I know I'm saved. I can take you to the place. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. Why in the world are you waiting? You need to come.
Yes.
Come on. Come on, don't wait. Better be real. Better be. Don't wait no longer. Come on, would you come? How about you that are saved? Maybe you need to come. Maybe it'd be good to come. Get with your mom and daddy. Come on, would you? Come down here and pray with your folks. Say, daddy, I know it's real. Daddy, I know. Get your mom, your dad. Amen. Come, pray together. Get around these altars. Make sure it's real. We need revival. Would you come? Would you come? Amen. Folks are coming. How about it? How about it? How about with your wife? Make you an altar where you at there. Make you an altar. Say, oh, honey, we want to make sure our life, we want to make sure it pleases God. Our home pleases God. We want to make sure it's real. We sure don't want to be the cause to make anybody stumble. Would you come? Would you come? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anybody here right now? Just be honest. Say, preacher, would you pray for me? God's dealing with my heart. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. We'll pray for you. Anybody like that? Say, preacher, God's dealing with my heart. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? How many of y'all would say, preacher, don't stop this invitation? There's some things, man, I need to pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Don't stop it. Amen. Amen. A lot of y'all, this is your church. You other preachers that come, this is your area. This is your state. Would you come? Would you come? Father, bless this invitation. God, have your way, Lord. Help us, God, help it to be real. Lord, we've got the truth. Lord, we all got buildings to meet in. God, the Spirit of God has been sufficient. Lord, you give us all pastors. You give us all good places to come. We've got the brethren. We've got the fellowship of the saints. God, the devil's tried to take the wind out of our sails. Help us, Lord. Revive us again. Meet with us here tonight. Move in this service. Bless this invitation, God. Those that are being dealt with, even right now, move that out of the way, Lord. They get saved. God, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Would you come? Would you come? Jesse's going to play. We ain't in no hurry. No hurry. Some of you need to hug your mom and daddy's neck. Tell them you love them. Amen. Do this in meetings we go to. Sometimes we call it an earthquake drill. You just kind of get out of your spot and go tell somebody. If they've been a blessing to you, go tell them. Maybe somebody in here you know needs some prayer. I'll tell you what, you ladies sitting here that are members of this church,
I imagine there's some folks sitting here tonight that need some prayer, don't you? Going through a hard time. Maybe use a little sensitivity and go get them. Come pray with them. You know somebody going through a hard time? Some of you men, might be good to pray with your preacher. Some of you fellas, it might be good to pray with old Brother Eric again. Amen. Pray for him. Touch him. Pray with him. Put your hands on him. Amen. Use these meetings, folks.